This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Everything is black and white. May has superpowers. Will the real Agent Carter please stand up? Daisy gives Deke orders. The tortoise lays on its back, its belly baking in the hot sun, beating its legs, trying to turn itself over, but it can't. Not without your help. But you're not helping. Why didn't you lead with that? We are talking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 2 and 3 and the after show for episode 4, Out of the Past. All right now, we are back. And of course, by we, I mean us three. Christian, Katie, how are you two doing?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
I felt the excitement there. I felt the excitement. Katie's excitement.
I got my hair dyed. It's a good.
It looks great.
She did her hair just for us. She's actually going to shave it right after the show. She only wanted us to see it. So
I appreciate that. Your excitement levels, both of you, is the same excitement that Deke showed Enoch after not seeing him for Enoch's 20-some years. I feel like you guys are on board with that.
We're working on our Chronicom personas, and I think we're doing an excellent job.
Excellent.
By the way, immediately in the chat, Haywood Wong, no Rachel, boo. All right, thanks. Yeah, thanks so much,
Rachel. Haywood. Rachel is celebrating her anniversary.
Yeah.
So it's not Rachel boo, it's Rachel's with her boo. That's how that works. So we
Rachel and hubby Joe, right, yes.
And of course, Shay will be back next week. We'll have the full panel. Bree is holding it down in the back, and we have a lot to discuss because we are going to do our best to give you some insight into episodes 2 and episodes 3. Of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 2, Parent Trapped, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 3. The truth is out there as we get into the heart of season 7 with episode 4, this past episode, Out of the Past. No pun intended. We're going to break down each episode individually and then get and fast forward to episode 4 where we are right now. Of course, we have been off for in respect to everything that's going on in the world today. It wasn't the appropriate time to be on, but Agents and S.H.I.E.L.D. jumps around and talks about a lot of these things too. So let's talk about them as well. Let's get into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 2, Parent Trapped. I would love to know what each one of you thought as your overall thoughts. Christian?
Well, it's, you know, my feelings are not divvied up per episode, but in general, I'm enjoying the season. I think that I liked each of these episodes as we went along a little bit more. I think you might disagree with me, but I thought that episode 2, definitely doing a good job keeping us in the 30s. And, you know, really setting things up. And I love what they're doing with not dwelling too long in any of the time periods. So I like what we got in episode 2 for sure.
Katie, were you an episode 2 fan?
I do like it. I do like that we aren't staying too long in each era, just like Christian said. I enjoyed some of the Easter eggs we had. You know, they mentioned the super serum, so Captain America, and I do like Captain America. And earlier in the show, they did a lot of references to the other Marvel show movies, which I liked. And we did get a little bit of the current Patton Oswalt character that we had later on. And I like that we got to kind of tie in some of those future instances of them.
So. Getting some future Koenigs is always a good thing. I couldn't do what Christian did, which is lump them all together. I had to break them apart. And the reason so is because each one has such a different tone from the previous one. Of course, episode 4 having the most different tone of all with that film noir. So with episode 2, I really liked episode 2 coming off the premiere episode, which we had been waiting for. It was highly anticipated. I was thinking that maybe episode 2 would slow down, and we saw that it did not. It pushed full steam ahead, and we got a lot of action, and we got a lot of detail on the current concepts. And of course, who doesn't like to reminisce and feel connected to the Marvel universe that we're so familiar with Avengers and Captain America, and later, of course, Agent Carter, and jumping through the timelines. I really like that aspect. With episode 2, we're going to break it down as thus. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 2, Parent Trapped. Who is Freddie Malick? We're going to need to talk a little about Freddie Malick simply because he plays such an intricate part throughout. We did that in episode 1, but not to this extent. Lady in Red, that bullet in her. I don't know why they needed to save this Lady in Red so bad, but they saved her. Train Ride. We get that train ride, of course, with Mac and Deke, and they have to follow Freddie. May comes too, but she doesn't come too. And I'm sure you all know what I mean. That Time Tide, that's the force that's jumping us around. And Enoch is not on board with the plan. And I mean that so literally that it hurts my heart. Let's talk about that first. Who is Freddie Malick? Katie, Freddie Malick. Should we have shot him?
So I actually didn't like that Daisy. I understood Daisy's reasoning for wanting to have him shot and wants to undo all this stuff that he's going to do in the future. But it's also going to undo a lot of other things in the future, which could have repercussions. So I kind of think I'm in the middle. I understand both sides of it. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it.
A lot of voters don't either. Christian, what do you think?
Well, you're not there to make waves. And what bigger wave could you make than assassinating the guy who finds Hydra? And, you know, you have no control over what the repercussions are. You can subscribe to a multiverse theory where you create an alternate timeline. You also could realize that, Deke shot him and now none of us were ever born. So you can't just go around doing that. You know, I mean, there's the idea of let's go back in time and kill Hitler. Well, there's a lot of reasons why that would be great. But what happens as a result of that? And some people are like, yeah, let's roll the dice and see. You know, could it possibly be any worse? So I do understand that, but I do appreciate Mac being level-headed. Just no, I mean, we can't do that. And Deke doesn't know. Look, I mean, you want to talk about somebody who has somebody they want to be their boo. It's like Daisy's like, kill him. And he's like, I do want her to like me. So I do want her to like her.
True. And would you kill for Daisy? I know I would. My old thing is, have you people not watched Butterfly Effect? I mean, let's be real.
Look what happened to Ashton Kutcher.
Exactly. Look at what happened to Ashton Kutcher. He lost Demi Moore. Like, come on. Pay attention.
Yeah, but he gained Mila Kunis, so.
Yeah. Oh, maybe then he should have done it. I mean, the whole concept is that's why time travel is so tricky. Because as Christian pointed out, and we saw in episode 1, don't make waves. That was the whole thing. Splash a little, maybe a little touch here, touch there, but do not make any lasting waves. Clearly, killing Freddie is a lasting wave. The ramifications are impending doom. That's literally why they're there. If someone says, hey, we need to save Hydra because Hydra is the lesser of the two evils that are the outcome of this, and Hydra's this bad, then maybe you don't want to unleash the other thing. Whatever that is, whatever it may be, as we get into it. What were you guys, what did you guys think of Freddie as in a character? Freddie, first of all, just as a character, but also the dubious nature that Freddie often presents. What were your thoughts on that, Christian?
Well, I think they did a good job showing somebody who is kind of at a crossroads in his life and doesn't really know, just really aimless at that point. But then this idea of like, yeah, but I'm kind of in with a cool crowd. I mean, we got like little glow in the dark potions and, you know, serums and stuff. I think that this could be a good thing. And he's like, you know, clearly he is looking to be the kind of ultimate work from home, self-employed, self-starter. You know, he's like, you know, I'm going to start my own business. What do you think about an evil conglomerate that's bent on world domination? Would that interest you? So I think it's interesting to see him, you know, sort of at that point. You know, it's like when you get to see a character like Magneto or Victor Von Doom, you know, somebody who is, you know, more complicated than they seem on the surface, but inherently they're considered to be evil. I do like when we get that glimpse of, you know, who he is when he's younger.
Katie.
Yeah, with him, he has that whole, you know, he wants to make a name for himself, and but he doesn't necessarily want to do it the same way that he's supposed to or what people think he should do. And I think he was trying to figure stuff out. But, you know, everyone who becomes evil later on in life, what they, their decisions they made when they were younger can have a huge effect on that. And I don't know that he necessarily intentionally had evil in him. But later on, when money and power come into it, you know, you see that pull a lot of people apart. So I don't love him, but I do understand exactly how that character arc progressed.
I just wanted to jump in with some of our friends from the chat. Billie Jean Girl 24, if Freddie Malick died, then there would be no S.H.I.E.L.D., no Captain America, yep, or Iron Man. And Michael Cullen chimes in, Peggy would have never joined the SSR. So, you know, what are the repercussions of those things happening? And that's the whole thing from the commercial. You have to save Hydra to save S.H.I.E.L.D. So,
well, actually, something the chat forgot to mention, if Freddie dies, there's no Snyder Cut. And that is the most important thing to remember. If Freddie dies, all the Marvel movies get done like DC movies. Do you really want that to happen? Let's save Freddie. That should be a hashtag on its own. Let's talk about this Lady in Red. Lady in Red almost gets everyone in trouble. Lady in Red has a bullet in her stomach. Lady in Red has people performing surgery on her on a bar. Who is this Lady in Red, and why do we care?
Chris, well, I feel like the Lady in Red should answer that question. The Lady in Red hair.
I wanted to go, but I was actually going to be like, Katie, you go. I want your definitive answer last, but sure. Katie, not because you're specifically gender neutral first, please.
Hey, I don't know. I kind of was a little bit trying to figure that out myself. I feel like anytime you have a character like that, that's kind of the point, is she's mysterious. She's a redhead. What's she up to? I'm going to notice her, but why? So I wasn't quite sure what her role is in this, and then they kind of release more later. So she had that mysterious thing going on. So,
but did we actually find out who she really was, and am I just not remembering an episode from 3 weeks ago? Yeah, that's what I thought.
No,
and
that was the whole thing. No, we didn't find out who she was. And I was expecting, listen, it would have been great, and it will be great if she ties in somewhere.
Yeah.
But as of right now, we have no idea.
Well, now she needs to be like 40 years older, though. So, you know, and, you know, look, nice work on Freddie Malick, but who really bought that beard that they pasted onto him, you know? So it's not so easy to age up your actors. Old Steve Rogers in Endgame looked good, but not everybody gets to be so lucky.
Money, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, money too.
Yeah, it's money. It's listen, a lot of people don't know. Actually, I just researched it right now. It turns out that the Lady in Red is Betty White. Can you believe this? That's crazy.
She looks great. Still looks great.
Yep.
Looks amazing.
97 years young. God bless her.
We have no idea. I have no idea who the Lady in Red is. And it was an interesting storyline. Yo-Yo, why didn't you just use your power? Remember, you have super speed in seconds to do things just like this. Like if a bottle's about to crash on the ground, your super speed can stop it. But whatever. They've been using their powers incorrectly, which we will, of course, talk about more in our special segment, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Let's get into the train ride itself, where we get the train ride with Freddie, Deke, and Mac. And there was an intense moment. Let's talk about it all.
Well, I'm excited for this season because most episodes have a train ride in it. So, you know, I can't wait. You know, every week we're, you know, it looks like next week we're going to get a subway ride because they're in the 70s. So I, for one, think that there's not enough trains on television. I thought that there was some really good character stuff, you know, just getting to a little bit more of who Freddie was. So I think I appreciated that. And then just sort of the moral dilemma that Mac and Deke are kind of, you know, Mac more having a better understanding of the times and the history than Deke. So I think that is the nice thing about these train sequences, is that there's plenty of room for character development there, which, you know, I felt the same about last night's episode when we talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree with Christian in that sense. They're kind of, it's different. You're stuck on a train. You can't really do much. So that you're kind of forced to have conversations about certain things. And there's only so much you can do in the space. And you have to, there's not as much space if something goes wrong to protect people because everybody's in such close quarters. So I'm a big fan of a train scene as well. It's kind of like its own version of like a ticking time bomb on a clock, on a countdown. So I liked it. And it gives you also gives you that that feel of that time as well. So all of that's adding to the time period that they're in. So
I liked it. It did have a bit of Hobo Riding the Train vibe, but we did get to see a lot of character development. We're seeing a much more mature Deke, if that makes a little more sense, as we're seeing a lot more depth to Deke, and Deke has always been one of my favorite people. I like Freddy because I'm not a fan, and that means that you're doing a good job. You're the guy that we are starting to hate, and we're not even, we don't love to hate, we just don't like you. And the fact that we have to protect you, someone who we do not like, says volumes about how true we are to this mission. And also watching Mac, even in the presence of Coulson, where I was wondering if he would take a sidestep or become the second in charge again, he stayed this powerful leader. And I really appreciate watching him grow as the true leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think that will have ramifications at the end of this year's season, which we know to be, we think is going to be the final season. You never know with these people.
That's what they told us. You never know. They might be like, eh, how about season 8 for Disney Plus? Why not? Let's do it.
That's what we're all hoping. And of course, we get May coming too. We're coming off Feral May in episode 1. Now we're getting a little bit more of a backstory to May's awakening and her interaction with Enoch. What were your thoughts on that, Katie?
With the May storyline, it did take a little bit different turn than I was expecting. I was expecting her to be kind of like an unhinged anger, not really caring about that component. So it ended up being a more downstated, you know, Enoch type thing. I was kind of surprised, and I was okay with the fact that I was surprised, because that means it wasn't as predictable as I originally thought. And it's really interesting seeing May in that role, because we're used to seeing her be a little bit more downstated, but this was even downstated for her. So I'm on board with this version of May, though. I don't mind it.
You don't mind it? Okay, Christian, do you
mind
it?
What I like is that every version of May, to some extent, is able to kick most of the asses in the room. Now, when she's a little bit off her game, she's not going to be able to beat up everyone, but she can still get almost everyone, you know? So I do like that level of consistency. But to Katie's point, I like that we're sort of seeing, you know, after 7 years, we're really getting to see a different part of her personality. It's somebody who really keeps their emotions in check, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but someone who not only can't keep her own emotions in check, she can't keep in check the emotions of everyone around her. So I think that, you know, that's one of the great things about the show. Like you said, Katie, it didn't go where I expected it to either. And I like that they can still surprise us 7 seasons in.
Yeah.
I have to agree with both of you. It definitely took a turn that we were not expecting. Feral May, I was expecting Wolverine vibes, right? Because we see her cower, and yet we get the exact opposite concept. We get this other May who's actually off her game because she's feeling too much. She's actually a lot more grounded than she was ever before. And it's interesting to watch this May be constructed. It shows it in its writing. Does anyone else feel like this season was the most difficult to write and yet they handled it the best?
Yeah, especially since there's so many different, they're doing each in different time zones, but also different style of
exactly.
Film. So they kind of put all their eggs in one basket. And with some shows, it would absolutely not work and it would become completely disjointed, but it's working. I think it's working very well and they're doing a very good job with it.
I think they're doing a great job.
And our characters are consistent. The show's consistent. It still manages to be lighthearted. It manages to be poignant at times. But yeah, I mean, if you think about the first two episodes, really, it was almost like a gangster prohibition era story. And then we obviously got the film noir last night, and it looks like the 70s will be like a two-part episode of Starsky and Hutch or something like that. So I'm all in. I like the sort of different genres. You can tell they're like, we're just going for everything because this is our last season. Wink. Maybe not.
Wink, wink, maybe not. Let's talk Time Tide and Enoch not being on board to wrap up episode 2, Parent Trap. We get the Time Tide. So Simmons is on the ship like, hey, there's a clock ticking. Oh, no, we're going to jump forward ahead in time. We got to go. And Enoch's like, hey, what about me? And they're like, oh, sorry, Enoch. You'll be fine. You're a Chromacon.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that, Christian?
They're basically like, Enoch, if it was anyone else in the history of the show, even Trip, we would be like, yeah, hold on, keep it. But they're like, Enoch, he's going to be fine. You know, it's fine. And I think that they played that up to great comedic effect in the subsequent episodes. I love seeing Enoch. And I think that it must be a really fun part for that actor to play because, you know, when you can do the deadpan while still making jokes, you know, there's very little call for that specific skill set, but I think he's great. So I did feel for Enoch consistently throughout all of these episodes, actually.
Katie.
I was a little sad, but at the same time, a Billie Jean girl actually mentioned in the comments for Enoch, he keeps getting left behind. And I was like, that is true. So,
yeah.
But you knew he would be okay. So it didn't bother me too much because I figured, you know what? He'll do something. He'll manage. He'll be okay. And then, you know, so if anybody is, I agree with Christian. If anyone's going to get left behind, that would be him.
You know, he's going to be okay. He can, you know, he's not going to age. And, you know, if all of a sudden, you know, you left one of your main characters there, well, they could live for 20 years, but, you know, that's a long haul. Enoch, he could do that, you know, standing on his head. Literally, he could do it standing on his head.
Yeah.
Poor Enoch. We get into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 3, The Truth is Out There. And the truth is, Enoch is still with us. We're going to break it down as thus. The 50s, Project Helios, Simmons is Agent Carter. Trust me, that twist you did not see coming. May and Yo-Yo struggle, and everybody loves Sosa. So let's talk about episode 3, The Truth is Out There. What were your overall thoughts, Katie?
I did like that we got a time jump, and they also incorporated the fact that in the 50s with the whole Area 51 thing, another curveball I didn't think happening, and then there's the line where Coulson, she goes, Area 51 is a shield, and he goes, all the areas are shield bases. And the fact that they're able to keep in time what was popular at that particular time while still keeping the integrity of the show. But Peggy Carter, that thing, I was excited. That was a good little Easter egg, giving, teasing everybody, but, you know, maybe not exactly the way everybody wanted it to, but you know that they took that into consideration. So I think I liked this one a little bit better, and there were some some dialogue that is very appropriate for what was going on at the time as well. So they had very good well-written scenes that can also translate to modern day as well. So,
yeah, I mean, look, I just wanted to get a burger at that diner, and that's what I kept thinking about. And it was a little bit hard for me to concentrate on the scenes because I'm like, yeah, just throw another one on the fryer. I'll be fine for it. But I think that the Gemma as Peggy was just a fun little reveal. And then of course, knowing that Sousa was in the season, you just knew how that was going to blow up. And so of course, literally the only person that could walk in that room that would blow their cover, there he was. And I thought she did a great job. And I just liked watching him, you know, he's checking his hair, he's getting ready. And he's like, Peggy, wait a minute, you know? So I thought that was great. And it's one of those ways that the show tends to have fun. And I definitely enjoyed that.
It was definitely a lot of fun. It was definitely fun to get into the 50s. It was definitely fun to see the Agent Carter. That was very exciting. I don't care if it wasn't played up to what we were hoping. It was way more than we thought. Project Helios reminded me of Watchmen a little. It was a very similar vibe, which makes me wonder which one came first, the chicken or the egg. May and Yo-Yo, watching two of who we are always under the assumption the strongest characters, having such hard times with each of their particular strengths because they have now become weaknesses. And having Sosa there and just being such a great character that we're so familiar with was a perfect touch. It added the perfect touch to what, as Christian described, is a better episode. So I like how we are still getting better and it's still going on with time. Let's talk about the 50s. We're in the 50s now. The time tide has taken us into the 50s and we're here. Christian.
Well, there's a lot of stuff to enjoy in this episode, and there's a couple of references in the chat to one of the things that I liked, which is when Coulson was trying to root out the undercover Chronicoms, and the thing that ER's grandpa and our friend Ivan Soto also both mentioned is just him saying moist. You know, just trying to make the people uncomfortable. Just that single word, everybody's like, oh yeah, that's definitely a tip off. And I thought they did a great job with that. And I liked sort of seeing I like undercover missions gone wrong. And, it all worked out in the end, but I thought there were a lot of fun elements to this, and they really played with the time period and, you know, the fact that everybody, anything you don't understand, they must be commies.
Very good hint of the times where commies is the new bad guy. Katie, what were your thoughts
on the episode in general? What was the episode in general? Yeah, like, it was just like very different than the last episode, but in a good progressive way. And I do like where the story is going. And I like that they're still continuing all this storyline, but managing to kind of accelerate in a way, like they only have a certain amount of time in each era to get stuff done. And so if little things go wrong, like the whole thing with Sousa, you really have to just think really quickly, how are we going to deal with this? And there was that kind of old Avengers era Coulson, you know, with some of the little fanboy references, and we got to see kind of where he started too, which I'm also enjoying, and they're also taking it back to their roots in the show when they're rounding it out, which is also important in a final season to bring it back to the beginning and end it in a good way. So yeah,
and here we get Project Helios. We're in the 50s, we get Project Helios. What did you think of the impending doom of Project Helios?
Well, it's sort of reminiscent of the test that turned Bruce Banner into the Hulk. You know, I thought that there could have been any number of things that happened with, you know, that kind of massive outlay of radiation. But I thought, they did a great job showing that as one of those threats. I like the idea of we can't do anything with it, not knowing actually there are some people who are going to be able to do that. So I thought that it was a cool reveal that, you know, this thing is like, well, this isn't even what it's all about. And it actually was for the Chronicom. So I thought it was all very cool, very well done. And let me just throw in from Arkham O. Man, I don't know. I am very excited with this season. It keeps getting better and better. And we haven't even gotten Fitz yet.
I can't wait to talk about that part. Yeah. That's so true. So we get this Project Helios, Katie. Are you afraid? Do you get Bruce Banner vibes?
I was never really afraid. I mean, it was still a good plot point, but I knew, I figured it would all work out okay.
Well, that's just because you want to be the She-Hulk. That's really what it is. You hope that you would get some of that radiation through the TV.
I mean, yeah, usually it can be catastrophic, of course. You never know what's going to happen, but there have been some pretty good things that have come out of situations like this in the MCU. So, you know. Either way, it's the same as kind of the gamble with time travel. It could be some good. It could be a lot of bad. Which one do you?
Which one? Which yeah. one?
So, now, lesser evil, I think, is what they're thinking of.
We have to talk about everyone's favorite part of the episode. Simmons as Agent Carter, the one person who was the wrong person to impersonate.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one person.
Exactly. And I loved Sousa's line that she had a terrible British accent, and and Coulson even say, or I think it was Daisy who said, you should tell her that. I liked that. I like, you know, Daisy to the rescue. Like my initials are CIA. I like all of the cosplay from our characters in this episode. And the actor who played Sharp, the guy that they kidnapped, I thought that he did a great job too, sort of at the end, like, I've seen a UFO, and everybody's like, yeah, we've heard it. Clearly it's we sell the alien beef jerky. We get it. We know what's up. It's fine.
Katie.
I don't know who I would have had play Peggy instead, but I get what you guys are saying, but I don't know if anybody else has a similar look. to.
Yeah, I mean, they're just like, well, it's a British woman, so we can do it. It's basically like, look, we know you all wanted to see her this year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it for whatever reason. We're probably not allowed to. Who knows? Maybe one day we'll find out. So how about Gemma just pretends to be her?
I kind of liked it, though. I mean, it like we talked about, it was unexpected. So it more made me laugh and made me smile that they did that little bit of fan service. Well, yeah, it wasn't the best, but.
And it's always interesting to see because you imagine like Gemma season 2 or maybe even season 3 would be very uncomfortable in that role.
Yes.
And now she's pretending to be the founder of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know? So she's like, it's fine. So,
no worries. Yeah.
Well, it leads credence to the whole concept, alien commies from the future. It's just a play on all of that, right? So we get Simmons as Agent Carter. I really liked watching that. It was, of course, such a great nod. It caught all of our attentions. If you didn't like that, then you're not a true Marvel TV show fan. Let's be real. And they played it so well, not only with the script, but also with the humor. And as a comedian, I love when you can play humor so well. Christian made a point of Enoch's deadpan humor. I like this one where they were playing particularly like your English accent's horrible. Like clearly she has a natural English accent. It was just so good, so fun, so engaging. And that's why it's a perfect shift in an actual contrast to May and Yo-Yo's struggle. So we get this May who's having this hard time with everything that's going on, and Yo-Yo having a hard time with her powers. We get the struggle. So on one hand, we get a very humorous storyline, which is actually, it could be dangerous. And then on this side, we get something that's very serious that could be dangerous. What were your thoughts on that, Katie?
It was a good way to kind of stir up the May and that storyline that we already know. We've never seen them have to struggle with this. And so that itself is another challenge. And it did add a little bit more dimension to it, which I did like, because, you know, you do have to also kind of keep with the integrity of the show, but also be thinking of other ways to reinvent it and give these characters a new curveball that they're not used to dealing with. And so it's giving it more depth. And I do like that we're getting to see these characters in another light.
Christian?
So. Yeah, I mean, if you think about Yo-Yo when we first met her, you know, the range that we've seen, just obviously as an actress, but just in terms of the development they've done in the character, I mean, she's been through some, you know, just truly horrific things and just trying to get back to normal. It was sort of, I thought it was sweet in the episode where she's just sitting at the table with Mac, you know, they're sort of like, I don't know, I guess they're trying to reboot that relationship. I like that. That's always nice to see, but just really struggling. And yeah, the idea that she's just petrified and can't use her powers, where you're like, all right, you can't run as fast as you used to, but how about you like run at all, you know? And the fact that she can't even do that, that's what I think is interesting. And yeah, like you said earlier, Katie, you're taking two of these incredibly powerful characters and you're sort of taking away what makes them so powerful. There's no excuse for Daisy like barely quaking in the entire season, other than, I assume, budgetary. But there are so many times where I was just like, all right, they're not using their powers, but that doesn't mean you can't quake the whole place. But whatever. What do I know?
Even Yo-Yo, why can't you just jog? Maybe a fast walk. You can brisk walk.
The power walk.
Something. Do something. But I agree with both of you, because the concept is in watching Yo-Yo, who is such a strong, independent character, just this season, they've given her so much contrast, so much complication to that demeanor. She's not, it's like I have this wall on the outside, but on the inside I am glass. Don't help me shatter. And you watch that happen. And of course with May, once again, another strong woman, and we see we can both be strong, we can be powerful women, but still have more layers to us. That whole play on the onion, which of course was the I think it was the title, the Know Your Onions. It's almost like Know Your Onions, where it's like these layers that we keep pulling off these characters. And then, of course, we lead to Sosa, who's the character that has no layers, but so many at the same time. Katie, what did you think of Sosa?
I he's one of those characters, again, like, he does have these multiple sides. You're just not quite sure if he's going to be on board. And, you know, they mentioned, why didn't you tell me what was going on? And I like him.
I don't think you do, Katie. Actually, I don't think you like Agent Carter. Let's move on to Christian. I don't feel like you're not on board with this Agent Carter storyline that we were all so excited about.
I feel bad for Sousa because, in the original timeline, you really believed that he could have ended up with Peggy. And yeah. I think a lot of us assumed it. And but then, you know what? You're no match for Captain America. You get it. You know, that's the worst instance ever of like, oh, your ex moved back to town. Yeah, I'm going to go take a walk. Thanks. So I feel for him. I think that I really liked how much we got to know him. He's one of the main reasons why I liked the next episode, which I know we only have a few minutes. I do want to make sure that I go on the record saying that I liked last night's episode, but I really
You actually liked it after I'm done with you. Well, it's great to see him. It's great to have him around. And it's also great that he came back. So we got him again for episode 4, which we're going to discuss right now, Out of the Past. This is last night's episode. This is a main episode. And the concept is we're going to break it down with telling Sousa the truth. We get to tell Sousa the truth. And we come out with that line, why didn't you lead with that? That was a great moment, in my opinion. Chromacom story. We get to the Chromacom. We get Luke the Chromacom and the being the cop and watching the Chromacoms work. They're clearly still the bad guys, but are they really as much as we think? The past paradox. We get that whole concept. If we change something in the past, will it really affect the future? May catches feelings. May's powers. These superpowers are emotional powers, which is quite ironic for May to be going through this.
Yeah.
Deacon Yo-Yo talk. Well, we got a kind of a May and Yo-Yo, but now we have a Deacon Yo-Yo explicit talk, which is actually very time appropriate. It's very topical right now. We get Enoch still left behind, okay? So we still leave Enoch behind, which is coming to play. And then we go to the 70s, baby. We start going into the 70s. Let's talk about that. Should they have told Sousa the truth, and should they have told him from the beginning?
I think they should have told him sooner. I think he would have understood and been okay with things and what they were doing and more have been an ally if they had let him in. Because we know that he's around a lot of stuff anyway that he can't even talk about. So I don't really feel like it would have been a bad thing to at least let him in a little bit.
But. Yeah, I mean, I think part of the problem was that they really didn't know what they wanted to do about him. You know, I mean, it was Mac had the line, you know, it's what I forget how he phrased it, but it's one thing to, to take someone's life. It's another thing to stop someone else from taking it. And,
exactly.
You know, that I can see that being a much more difficult decision. And then they did it in the way that at least honors the original timeline where they take him out of time and then, you know, figure out what to do with him later, which just to me means great. He's going to be running around on the show for at least a little bit longer in the season. When I was convinced towards the, you know, until almost the end of the episode that it's like, oh, they're going to let him fulfill that destiny because there's like, you know, time travel 101. Don't mess up stuff. That's that big. So I thought that they had a cool approach. And look, I'm just a sucker for the film noir style of storytelling. I love that they were committed to doing almost the entire show in black and white on network television. I mean, you know, I imagine that's a little bit of a hard sell. You do it on a streaming service. It's, you know, it's quirky, whatever, but you have to feel like you do it on television. People are like, is my TV broken? What happened? But, and then also Tehran, because you mentioned it, Katie and I were talking before we got started. Sorry. We weren't waiting for you. We just started talking and
I know I felt so left out and so did the chat.
Yeah. But, that conversation between Deke and Yo-Yo is so poignant whenever it would have aired. But, you know, just right now, he's just like, were women allowed to drive at this point? And she's like, what a crazy question. And then really it's like, yeah, but is it, you know, it's like, you have people that like, can't use this water fountain, can't use that restroom. You know, you're only their first jump back in time. They're only 10 years removed from women getting the right to vote. So yeah, he understandably is like, what are the rules? Like, And she just is like, well, you know, it gets better, just not as fast as we would like.
Not, so I love that scene.
Yeah, never fast enough. Exactly.
Never fast enough. That's almost its own chant right there. Katie, what were your thoughts?
The fact that they were able to tie in that conversation and have it not feel forced and have it just be like in a natural conversation, I have to applaud the way that they wrote it. I felt like it was a very, and to see Deke, who literally is from the future to begin with, so he's from a very different society, he's also learning. And I felt that that was a very well written in that sense too, that it's showing this person who literally, he's just basing off what he's learning as he goes along and asking them questions, and how many things could be solved when people ask questions and are trying to stay informed like he's trying to do. So I thought it was a very, very good moment. Tense, of course, but the fact that they had, when it happened to air, it's still relevant no matter what time that they filmed it. So
that's what makes it crazy, is the fact that this conversation, which is happening in the 50s on the show, is happening at today with everything going on in the social atmosphere today, is still the same poignant conversation. That's what makes it crazy. It's almost surreal, and it's almost it's ironic. It's every single colloquial for what the F. Like, it's still one of those things where it was infuriating and yet so profound that Deke, simple Deke, who's from the future, is just like, what are the rules now? Why are these rules here? And it's just, it's such a simple question, but it has such a complicated answer. And that's what gives it so much understanding and depth, especially, like I said, it's very topical. It's very topical. And of course, the dichotomy of May being the one to have these empathetic powers and to be able to feel. And she's always been the unfeeling one. She's always been the one who is the rock. And the only emotions we've ever seen May are anger and annoyed. I've never really seen May do anything else. Even when she's in love, which we're like, hopefully she's in love with Coulson, that's what we're thinking, she's still just annoyed. She's annoyed for liking Coulson. She's angry that she has feelings about, like, we don't see the tender side. The only time we see her being tender is when she's beating someone up and then like showing someone else how to do it.
But right? She beats up only because she cares.
Exactly. Also another topical subject. So it gets very deep. It gets very deep. Enoch is still left behind, everyone.
Enoch.
Poor Enoch.
Just the way that he's resigned to basically being their phone operator and be like, I'll connect you. And he doesn't even try anymore. And it's like, he really is the same as the guy who's telling him all of his troubles. I feel for Enoch more and more each of these three episodes we talked about, particularly in this one. And I'm like, oh man, once again, it's like, well, you know, he's thousands of miles away. What are we supposed to do? We'll catch up with him. Don't you worry, Enoch. I thought it was great.
It is definitely reoccurring humor. Katie, what did you think?
I mean, you kind of expect it now. I was did feel a little bad for him that he's always getting left behind, but it is nice that he's still managing to try to help them regardless of where he's at. I mean, he made it so they could communicate from where he's at. So even though he is left behind, some people would just kind of fall apart with that, but he doesn't see it that way. He just thinks, I'll just keep doing something so that when they do come and get me, I can be of help again. He never stops trying to help them. And that's great.
That's awesome. What makes me hurt so much is that Enoch is such a great guy and they keep leaving behind without any care. Like, I want them to be more sad that they're leaving Enoch behind. I want them to be like, oh man, Enoch is invaluable. He's been the leading force. He's also basically just going against his entire race, everything he's known to help us. Man, it sucks that we're doing this, but they just kind of leave Enoch, and they always throw out something funny about it, which makes it even funnier. And I can't help but laugh each and every time. And I think this is going to be something that goes on through the season. We'll talk about that, of course, when we get to predictions. We're going into the 70s. Before we get there, I really want to know what everyone thought. And I usually do this at the beginning. Before, but this time I wanted to do it at the end because I wanted to break down There wasn't a lot that happened in this episode, but what did you think about this episode as a whole, Katie?
This was actually one of my favorites. I don't know exactly why. I did love the film noir style. I do love the whole vibe that they had with that. But I feel like we're getting to the point in the season where you're going to start going into that end game. So you're at like the peak right now. And so I felt like that was kind of based off like where they're at in the show. But it just made me smile. And I've appreciated the writing in this one probably more than I appreciated it so far this season. So.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, stylistically, I loved it. The nod to the film noir style, the, you know, sort of taking a page from Sunset Boulevard, all of it. Coulson's narration, I thought they did a great job explaining why it was happening. They didn't need to do that. I was going to be on board for it. I liked it anyway. So stylistically, I liked it. And also, I really, as I said before, I love the character stuff that we got from Sousa in this. And just, you know, I just the dedication to keeping it in black and white, I thought was a really nice touch, and it helped the overall feel for it. I loved what we got out of our main characters too. You know, we got to see some honest feelings and moments of weakness, and I just love everything that we're getting so far.
Well, I have to say, I do not like film noir. I do not like specifically these old feeling movies. I'm not a fan. This episode was amazing. I don't know how they pulled it off, but they made it so endearing. Even though nothing particularly definitive happened in this episode, the little moments were the ones that counted the most, and they counted so much because it's not only as if they like the show, it's as if they care. And I don't just mean May, I mean overall in the show, you can almost feel the earnest and the tenderness that's put into the writing. And I don't know how to explain it other than to say it's an extremely endearing season. And this episode, at this point, capped that off. So I even liked it. And we're going into the 70s. When we go into the 70s with 70s style, and we'll see if we get that Starsky and Hutch. Let's get into our special segment, Agents of Should. I want you all to pick out one moment in any of these three episodes we just talked about where something should have happened that didn't. Let's start with Christian.
Well, the real Peggy Carter should have walked into that SHIELD base and been like, I don't think you're Peggy Carter. I'm Peggy Carter. That's what should have happened.
That would have been amazing. Katie?
They should have had Fitz in some way, shape, or form in any of these episodes. That's my
fact.
Well, it's interesting.
Even if it's like a glimpse, he's in a plain black room somewhere just so you can see what he's up to.
It's interesting you bring that up. We're going to talk about that in the news and gossip. Mine is, of course, Yo-Yo in that bottle. Like, it still bothered me three episodes later. Why didn't Yo-Yo just not use her one? The one, you have one job, Yo-Yo. You have one job. You've really not done much this entire episode. You could have done that, and you weren't able to do so. Let's talk about that news and gossip, shall we? Getting into news and gossip, actually, DigitalSpy.com agrees with you, Katie. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 7 is making a mistake by keeping Fitzsimmons apart. It seems that we're not the only fans that are missing out on this Fitzsimmons team-up. We have not seen Fitz, which is the best paycheck for an actor, but it's doing a lot of detriment to the show itself. We talk about this article talks about why Fitz hasn't been on and how we are missing out because we are missing Fitzsimmons. And it used to be such a dynamic that we said that name, Fitzsimmons, referred to either one. So let's get Fitzsimmons back. Katie wants them back. Her hair is red. What are you guys doing? Let's get into some predictions, shall we?
My prediction is that Fitz and Simmons will be back, not next week, but I think the week after. They can't get to the halfway point of the season without Fitz.
Katie?
I was trying to think of predictions, and honestly, with the way this season's going, I have nothing. Everything is just throwing me for a loop. So I have no idea what to think anymore. But I do hope, I'm going to say a hope. I hope we get to see more tie-in with more of the MCU, because they did such a good job earlier in the show with tying it into the MCU, and I really hope we get more of that.
Well, I think we're going to get more Chromacons. I feel like they haven't, for the main antagonist in this season, we haven't really gotten much of them in the last two episodes. sure, we got a little glimpse here, especially in the last episode. We didn't get enough Chromacom. They seem to be almost a byproduct, or, oh yeah, we have to kind of write them in. So I'm waiting for that Chromacom reveal. I'm waiting for it for the big moment. This chasing them through time has to cultivate and culminate into something. So I'm waiting for that to happen. Until then, I'm waiting to follow each of you wherever you can be found. Christian, where can people find you if you want to be found?
I can be found on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ, and also Thursdays, this same day, earlier in the day at 11 a.m. Pacific, over on the Popcorn Talk, doing Marvel movie news. If you like this show, I think you'll like that show. We do usually talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. as well, but we save the best talk for this show.
Cross promotions, it's always good. Katie, where can they find you?
You can find me on all social media, including Twitch, at KT_Christine with a C. I also do the show The Con Guy on Monday nights at 9 o'clock on the Popcorn Talk Network, where we talk about all the convention updates, and you can find me there.
Well, you can find me at I Am Tehran all across the board and in these streets, being a part of history. So make sure to find me. And find me also hosting and paneling on a slew of other AfterBuzz shows, because all of your favorite TV shows are my favorite TV shows too. We appreciate everyone in the chat, everyone in the comments. We, of course, go through them. Please give us 5 stars on iTunes if you can. And, of course, I would love to thank the AfterBuzz behind the stage crew for doing an amazing job presenting these shows, even during these most turbulent of times. Just know we're all in this together. Spread the love, spread the word, just don't spread corona. We'll see you guys next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.